Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday, February 1st, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, it's the first of the month. You guys know that song? Oh, man. That's a little... I wonder how many people do know that jam. Yeah, that's a Bone Thugs and Harmony. For all my hip-hop heads out there, that's a Bone Thugs and Harmony joint, all right? But it's the first of the month. It's February 1st. It is the month of love. So, hey, all my fellas out there, all of the husbands in the room, all of the boyfriends in the room, and the ladies as well, right? I mean, even though the guys, we really got to hold it down on that day. I mean, you know, get your man something too. Valentine's Day, now just days away, right? It is the month of love, and it is also the month in which we celebrate blackness in America. It is Black History Month as well. So happy Black History Month to you guys. Happy month of love to you guys. Happy first of the month to you guys. All right. February 1st. And what a weekend it was to usher us into this first week in the month of February. A lot occurred over the weekend, folks. A lot in the world of local sports. And really, I mean, this story was not just a local sports story to shock everybody, but this was a national sports story that everybody was talking about, you know, because when it broke later on that night, I looked on SportsCenter and they had like around-the-clock coverage breaking it down. And that is the Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trade between the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams. How major was that? I mean, just insane, folks. I'm going to get to that in just a few seconds here. But before I do, I want to tell you about what else we have on the docket for today's show. Of course, we are going to talk about the continuing conversation that is what is wrong with the Michigan State men's basketball team. I should be asking at this point, what is right with the Michigan State men's basketball team? They look bad. They look really, really bad. And now, you know, we've had some scares in recent history when talking about Michigan State men's basketball not making the NCAA tournament, the Big Dance. But this is the biggest scare of them all. Certainly. I mean, in the midst of COVID and all of the games that have been postponed in the Big Ten season, a lot of uncertainty surrounded around college basketball, period. The games you do play, especially those conference games, you got to win. And Michigan State isn't doing that. They fell hard yet again to another team in the Big Ten Conference on the road yesterday. It was a 79-62 final as Michigan State lost to the Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus. And with that loss, Michigan State now is just 2-6 in the Big Ten Conference. And again, tournament hopes look bleak. And then they play, and you know, looking at Ohio State in that matchup, ranked as the 13th team in the nation. And now they have to turn around, and tomorrow they got to hit the road again, and they will be at Iowa, the number 7 team in the nation. That's the thing. It's a gauntlet in the Big Ten Conference because you have so many ranked opponents. And looking at the schedule from here on out, I mean, it's just tough to really find a pathway that would realistically allude to Michigan State finding some wins and making the big dance. So I'm going to get to Michigan State men's basketball later on this hour. You'll hear from head coach Tom Izzo of the Spartans, and you'll hear his thoughts on what happened last night. You'll also hear from Joey Hauser and Joshua Langford. So two players coming at you as well. But as I stated, I want to start with the mega deal that has now sent Matthew Stafford to Los Angeles, California. And in return, the Lions get a lot. They get a lot here. Very shocking stuff. We knew that a move was coming, but we didn't think a move like this was going to come to fruition, right? I mean, the total list of picks traded for Jared Goff, and these are two number one overall picks now swapping locations. You know, Matthew Stafford, former, you know, number one pick, Jared Goff, former number one pick. But the total list of picks, I mean, it's something to behold, folks. You know, Jared Goff, Jalen Ramsey, and Matthew Stafford, it is something to behold. I mean, we're talking about 6 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 3 third-round picks. That's amazing. And it tells you two things. It tells you that right now, the LA Rams, they are in a certain win-now mode. And they have been in a win-now mode for years. But this deal pulls even more future assets into the present. And right now, with this trade, the Rams won't have or hold any of their first-round picks over a 7-year window, folks. Can you imagine that? Not having a first-round pick over the course of the next 7 years. Yeah, McVay and company, they are trying to win now. It's all about winning now for them. That is crazy. Well, excuse me, not for the next 7 years. I mean, since 2017. From 2017 to 2023, excuse me, they will not have or would have not had, since 2017 has already happened, any first-round picks. That is mind-boggling. So when you take into account, you know, the Jared Goff move in addition to the Jalen Ramsey move, I mean, 6 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 3 third-round picks. Wow. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. So just real quick, just want to break it down further. Again, I didn't think, you know, right now, how should Lions fans feel? Because, you know, always anytime a big move like this happens in the world of sports, especially when it concerns one of our local teams here in the state of Michigan, I just kind of put the news out there. When I first heard it, I immediately tweeted it out. I immediately put it on my Facebook page. I immediately put it on my Instagram page and just asked, hey, Lions fans, how you feeling? And the response, with the exception of 2 people, was overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. And it should be, folks. It should be. Because the amount of value that the Lions got in exchange for Matthew Stafford, a quarterback who is, yeah, he's still hanging on to a bit of his prime right now, and he's still proving that he can play and has one of the best arms still in the NFL. He's still on the back nine of his career. He's 32 years old. Actually, he'll be 33 in 6 days on February 7th. And he's got more down years than elite years ahead of him. He's had injury problems these past 3 to 5 seasons as well. I mean, that's what happens when you're playing for the Detroit Lions and playing, you know, behind a really bad offensive line. But, you know, this guy's on the back end of his career, and the amount of value that the Lions got is pretty amazing. You know, shout out to Brad Holmes. I mean, in his first major move as Detroit Lions general manager, this was a major splash. So, blockbuster deal. Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff, along with two future first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. So that'll start next year for the Lions. And a third-round pick this year. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. So you get not one, but two future first-round picks and a third-round pick this year. And you get Jared Goff, a former number one overall quarterback, in exchange. So you get to, you know, and let's not forget, I mean, you look at this season as well, the Lions are picking in the top 10. So you have set yourself up because you knew you wanted to make this deal happen. You know, Matthew Stafford and the Lions had mutually agreed that, okay, now is the time to part ways. And then you start kicking around scenarios. Okay, what can happen here that would help us in the future? And, you know, and there were reports that came out as well, actually this morning, that the Bears, Broncos, and the Panthers offered the Lions first round picks as well, which is pretty interesting. And according to some reports, that you know, Carolina offered the number 8 pick. So, very, very interesting. There were a lot of teams that looked at this and really wanted Matthew Stafford. We should tell you a few things, Lions fans. First of all, I got to say this too. All of the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford haters, I just will never, ever understand you. You know, the quarterback position is like one of the easiest positions to look at and say, you are why we are not where we need to be. And look, granted, you know, it's granted at times. It's granted a lot of the times, I'll say that, because the quarterback position is the most important position on the football field. You have the football in your hands on every single offensive play. You got to make things happen. I totally understand that. But in the case of the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford, not warranted at all. When you look at this dude's legacy, he will go down now as the greatest Detroit Lions quarterback of all time. If you look at the numbers, he's number one in a lot of different categories. The dude just didn't have a team around him. Specifically, he didn't have a defense. No defense, because I know people are probably, there are some Lions, Matthew Stafford haters out there who are screaming at the radio now and saying, Al, he had Calvin Megatron Johnson. Now, he's had some great running backs throughout his career. Some other great wide receivers throughout his career. But I'll counter and say, what about that offensive line, dude? That's why he played, what, 2 seasons ago with a broken back, for goodness sake. Now, I'll say, you know, maybe like these last, this last year and a half, you look at, you know, the amount of times he's been sacked, and a lot of that has been on him. Where it's like, all right, Matthew, just kind of throw the ball away, please. But throughout his career, he has not had an offensive line. He's had some talent at the wide receiver position for sure. Had a few good backs come here. But, dude, if you're playing with a defense that's giving up touchdown after touchdown every single game, and you're out there trying to, you know, lead your team to comeback wins or at least stay afloat on every single drive, That's going to wear on you, dude. And that's going to lead to more losses than wins. But he always showed up, man. You cannot question Matthew Stafford's toughness. You know, it had to be, if you saw Matthew Stafford on the sidelines, it had to be a major, major injury, and you knew something was up. But he gave his all, blood, sweat, and tears, to the city of Detroit and for that horrible organization that is the Detroit Lions for many, many years. Gave up his body, and he was there working hard, trying to make this franchise a winning one. But he had no defense. You know, the year where I really thought they could make some noise, they had no defense, man. The Cardiac Cats, you know, I always bring that up. You know, and Matthew Stafford was like, you know, he like broke a record for most fourth quarter comeback wins for the Lions that year. And I'm pretty sure when you look at his stats, I mean, Stafford is up there in terms of league overalls, you know, throughout his career when it comes to fourth quarter comeback wins. Amazing. So now, according to Ian Rappaport, the Lions had more than six formal trade offers for Stafford. Chicago, Denver were among a handful of teams outside of the Rams who made the most aggressive plays for the veteran QB. The Colts, the 49ers, and the Washington football team were also in the mix. That shows you, that amount of attention just shows you how the league views Matthew Stafford. He is a darn good quarterback. He is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He is an iron man. He is so tough, still has a crazy, crazy strong arm, and he deserves this opportunity to play for a team that legitimately has a chance to possibly win a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 years. He deserves this opportunity because that's what LA sets him up with the opportunity to now do. And Sean McVay, we all know about his greatness in his young, budding NFL career. Great pairing for Matthew Stafford. And it's a win-win opportunity right now when you look at this because the Lions get all of these draft picks that could help in the future. And at the quarterback position, are you getting like a superstar? No, but you're getting an above-average dude in Jared Goff. He had some great years in L.A. Did he see a decline? Yeah, sure. But he had some great years out there. You're getting a solid guy. And with these future draft picks, you know, especially with this year coming up and the Lions drafting in the top 10, you could go the quarterback route. So it's not like you're stuck with Jared Goff. Also, you can use him as trade bait as well. There's a lot of opportunity here, folks. You know, a few tweets that I got from people, you know, and I responded to many on Twitter. But I want to give a shout out to my guy Chase, at Certified Chase on Twitter. He tweeted me and said, "The term is draft capital, Al. Keeping the young quarterback is a good move because it allows you to build up the defense. Flipping the young quarterback means that you have even more draft capital to draft another younger quarterback. And I tweeted back exactly. This gives you great opportunities to build toward the future. You just got to make sure you make some smart decisions in the NFL draft. Which, yes, the Lions have a tendency to do, but still. But you send Stafford to the Rams in exchange for two future first-round picks and a third-rounder for this year? Man, that's major. I still think the Lions should draft quarterback with that top 10 pick this season. I still would. It'll be some healthy competition in training camp. It'll hopefully, you know, push Jared Goff to be a better QB as well. And then, these two future first-round picks, nail them, man. You know, and right now, I tell you what, you know, you're looking at this new leadership for the Lions, and I've questioned it, and I still will question it. We still got to see how this thing plays out. But I will say, I will grade this move as an A++. for Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. They did their thing with this one, man. Because I didn't think they were going to get this kind of return for an aging, beat up Matthew Stafford. But there are a lot of teams out there that want to win now, who have that win now mentality and are willing to do whatever it takes. So a few other, you know, takeaways here. You look at Goff's contract. Now, the Lions likely don't see it. You know, they will pay him, $27.2 million per season over the next 2 years. Significant dead weight, really. His contract guarantees $27.5 million in 2021 and another $15.5 million in 2022. So with that being said, I mean, that gives you some options. And I say options in this regard. The Lions paying him that amount of money, it'll be highly unlikely. I can't see this, at least. I don't think he's a player that you acquire with the intention of then cutting with minimal cost. Brad Holmes, he is familiar with Goff because he used to work in the Rams front office. That's a big reason why this deal got done. And he could look at Goff through a more positive prism, really, a more positive lens than many football, quote-unquote, experts out there who thought he could only be moved if the Rams gave away additional compensation. So, you know, again, so flexibility in terms of this. The Lions could still draft a quarterback with that number 7 pick, make Goff a placeholder, but I think making this deal means that doesn't have to happen, at least this offseason. So, we'll see. You know, they could do a lot of different things here with that number 7 pick. And Dan Campbell has a lot to think about. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, they have a lot to think about. But you got to nail these picks, man. And that's the thing. You know, that horrid draft history when it comes to the Lions, that's got to change now because you are given opportunity to do something special and acquire guys who can be game changers for your team. With these first round picks, you got to nail them. The opportunity is there. Your thoughts, though? I think this is a brilliant move. The Lions knocked it out of the park, something I rarely say when discussing the Honolulu Blue, but this is fantastic. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's get our first break. When we come back, you will get my thoughts on what happened yesterday afternoon out in Columbus, Ohio, as Michigan State men's basketball loses yet another one. And the Big Dance is looking not so good as a bid for Michigan State in Tom Izzo. Weird saying that, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday, first of the month edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I won't spend too much time given my thoughts on what is wrong with Michigan State men's basketball. Those who have been tuning in, especially throughout last week, know how I feel about this team. I do not believe that this is an NCAA tournament team. There are so many holes in this Michigan State men's basketball boat. And now, with the loss against Ohio State yesterday, goodness gracious, Michigan State is now 2-6 in Big Ten play. 2-6. Isn't that mind-boggling to say? I mean, wow. Goodness. You know, and look, Michigan State wasn't expected to beat Ohio State yesterday. I mean, that's the number 13 team in the nation. You're unranked. But I think the dialogue will be a bit differently. It would be different if Michigan State was at least competitive in these games. But they're not even competitive, folks. They're not even hanging with these squads. Blowouts. You know, an output of 37 points against Rutgers last week. Then you follow that up with another blowout loss against Ohio State, which means that, okay, you go against number 7, Iowa, on the road tomorrow night, and that one could be even uglier. Goodness. And look, they were down, 12 points at the half, 42-30 at the half yesterday. But then that lead extended to 20 in the second half. Michigan State found themselves down. It was like 61-41 at the 10-minute mark. But you look at the body language of Michigan State, really bad. Bad shots, horrible defense, mediocre rebounding. They just don't have it. And, you know, guys I called out last week, leading into the weekend, you know, guys like Rocket Watts, Joey Hauser, Josh Langford, they all struggled again. Langford, you know, look at Hauser and Langford kind of responded, you know, 11 points for Hauser, 5 of 11 shooting. Josh finished with 14. But neither really did look that great if you look at that game. They didn't look. And then Aaron Henry is just ghost right now. I mean, there's so much wrong with Michigan State right now. And look, some may sit back and say, well, Al, they had 20 days off before they played another game. And I say, okay, I hear that. But Michigan State isn't the only team that's dealing with postponements due to COVID. So don't give me that. That only goes so far now. That excuse is out the window. It's done. You know, Aaron Henry with 10 points, 2 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 4 from deep. I mean, this team just isn't that good. They're showing no fight, and it's an eyesore to watch. Shooting is horrible. I mean, from deep, you know, they shot 33%, 5 for 24. Double-digit turnovers, 24 fouls. The defense didn't block many shots or force turnovers for Ohio State. And then missed layups as well. I mean, it's bad, man. And I don't know how you go about figuring this out. I don't think you can figure this out. I think Michigan State is going to miss the tournament. They are going to get invited to the NIT, and I don't think Tom Izzo is going to accept that invitation. That's what I think is going to happen. If Michigan State does miss the tournament, this will be the first time that has happened since 1997, which was Izzo's second season as head coach. And the Spartans entered Sunday's game. They were ranked number 96th in net rankings due to a glaring lack, folks, of quality victories. I mean, right now, the way things stand, because you can't look back at that Duke win anymore and say, oh, you beat Duke, though. I mean, back on December 1st when they beat Duke, isn't it crazy how things have changed? Like, both Michigan State and Duke were both ranked in the top 10. And now both Duke and Michigan State are on the outside looking at the NCAA tournament picture. That's crazy. Duke and Michigan State, two blue bloods, two powerhouses, Coach K, Tom Izzo, both may not be making the tournament this year. Goodness, I don't know. Now a strong finish, this is a possibility. A strong finish for Duke would make that win against Duke look a little better. that will help keep Izzo's streak of 22 straight tournament appearances alive. But we'll see. We'll see what Duke does down the stretch. But right now, that win over Rutgers on January 5th, that is the best win on Michigan State's resume. So I think if you are a Michigan State fan right now, you need to be cheering on Duke during the regular season's final month. This is it. You gotta hope that the Blue Devils just run the table and they figure some things out in order to make that win over Duke earlier on in the year at the beginning of December look great. But right now, Michigan State does not look great. 2-6. That's crazy, folks. And you look at the schedule moving forward. You got Iowa tomorrow. I think that's a loss. Nebraska. Now, you have beaten Nebraska on the road earlier this season, but with the way you're playing now, I don't know. That's 50-50. Then you play Penn State at home. Then you play Iowa again. You play Purdue on the road. Purdue beat you by 1 point. Travion Williams going off at the Breslin and hitting that final jump hook to beat you. Then you play Indiana. You got Ohio State again. You got Maryland, always a tough team. And then you play one of the Big Ten dogs this year, number 4, Michigan, to close out the season. That is one tough schedule. That is an incredibly tough schedule, folks. And we'll dive more on tomorrow's show about, you know, who's to blame for this. There's a lot of blame to go around, including head coach Tom Izzo. And speaking of Izzo, what you're going to hear now is the post-game press conference of Tom Izzo after the loss to Ohio State out in Columbus yesterday. And followed by his voice will be the voices, I should say, of players Josh Langford and Joey Hauser. Here is what they had to say after the loss to the Buckeyes on the road yesterday. Again, starting with Coach Izzo.
Early on, I think we missed four front ends for the game, two in the first half and a couple of layups. I thought we had some good shots. They just didn't go in, Aaron and Josh. And Rocket had a few, but Aaron and Josh are two of my better shooters, and thought they had some good shots. I thought they made some unbelievable shots, I think three of them right at the end of the shot clock. One of them was, that one on Josh when he just threw it up there, and then one Joey missed a rebound, and they falling down made it, and then one where I thought Aaron was right on Washington, give him credit. He made that three as the horn went off. I mean, those are 6-8 point swings. You miss a decent amount of free throws for us where, you know, we shot 74, but we missed four front ends of a one-on-one, so that's really shooting 60-some. And you know, we had some better play out of Hauser, better play out of Julius Marble. We did not get better play out of some other guys. And but my star's got to play. You know, I probably played Josh too many minutes in 32 minutes. I just needed a shooter in there without Gabe with us. I didn't have a lot of options. So Ohio State's a pretty good team. They played hard. They played well. Very physical team for not a huge team. And so we took a small step forward in some ways, but the shooting woes continue. I don't know. You know, I just know this. A lot of people are rotating people, and I'm going to keep rotating until I find the right rotation. You know, it wasn't very good. He had an unbelievable day yesterday. Looked like some of my old point guards, and they get back in a game, and he just reverted back a little bit. But I don't know what I'm going to do. I got 2 days to think about it. I'm going to be thinking about it. And, you know, I don't go by the theory that it's not like a quarterback. I mean, you'd like to have some it's solid more than it is. But at the same time, you know what? I'm going to play the people that are best. I thought Foster played pretty good. Didn't play AJ as much today for reasons, nothing bad, just. But I thought, you know, Mahdi gave us a little something for the first time as far as rebounding the ball and blocking a couple shots. And I thought, you know, Marcus has been playing better, shot well from the line. I mean, we did get to the free throw line 31 times and four front ends. That's like 35 times. That would be a career high for us. So we were a little better on that. But I don't know what I'm going to do there yet. You know, it depends on Josh and you know, feels and what I think I can get out of him. I don't want to make sure I beat him to death either. So we'll have to make some decisions. I've seen that. I don't think our leadership's been quite good enough. And it's hard. You know, it's hard for a guy like Aaron who struggled the last couple games. And, you know, he's really our leader. And, he struggled. He struggled. I mean, he didn't struggle with his attitude. You know, he struggled. I'll give you an example. We told him not to foul 13 with 4 minutes and 5 seconds left. We're down to nine. We thought we could make a run. And the guy is it's like a layup for the guy. I mean, he's shooting 98% from the free throw line, and he just did. You know, that's a frustration foul more than it is an intelligent foul. And then things kind of went the other way the last 4 minutes. But, you know, I think we do have to fight through it, but you know, we're fighting through without practicing. I mean, we couldn't practice Friday. We had a film session and a walkthrough. We did practice decently Saturday for an hour and a half. It's not going to be easy on the road now because we don't have, you know, facilities where we're just going to be able to get in any time of the day or night. So it's going to be tough. Josh, you know, has had really 3 live days of practice, and same with Mahdi. So, we're just going to have to keep fighting through it, you know. And I did think there were some things I could take away from this game. If I get those kind of shots and we can't make them, we're not going to win any games. But, you know, beginning of the year, we're making all those shots. So I still think there's a lot more positive came out of today. It just got away from us at the end again. Cheney, as dumb as it sounds, I mean, I never knew John Cheney until I put an APB out that I wanted to play on national TV because we never got on TV. And one day he called me, he said, I'll play you and I'll get it on TV because it's kind of, we have that ability within our conference. And I said to myself, man, I don't want to play him. And then he told me, you know, hey, I'll come to your place first. It'll be a good game. They were really good. So we did. Got beat by 1, went there the next year, had a 16-point lead, and Pepe Sanchez hit a shot at on an out-of-bounds play at the buzzer and lost by 1 there. And he came to our bus after, and he talked to Cleves and some of those guys, but he grabbed me and he said, you know, a lot of people are afraid to play people. He said, my whole life. And I thought about it, and I really did appreciate, you know, what he said, just keep doing it. But then I looked at his conference and my conference, and it's a lot easier to play tough non-conference games if you know, you don't have as good a conference to play against every day. But was it his advice stuck with me? I've always given him credit for it. I tell him that in person. And then, of course, we had the game in the Elite Eight when we were playing in the Sweet 16. And I'll never forget, his locker room was right next to mine. And they played the first game in the Sweet 16, and we were getting dressed. And he went after his team at halftime. And I swear to God, the team Cleves was white by the end of that lecture. And he was just sitting there listening. And, you know, I think it really helped my team because it made them realize that I'm not certifiably nuts. He is. And yet he's a great coach. And they all respected him because he came to us. And then we beat him in the Elite Eight game, and I made the comment. I felt like the guy who shot Bambi, you know, because everybody loved John. I love John. He He was really good for the game, and he was about as honest as they come, man.
That's tough. I mean, because at the end of the day, you do have to make baskets too. So, you know, that's why it's defense and offense. And, you know, like you said, our defense has been pretty good, but we just haven't been converting as well offensively. But, you know, we just have to keep trying to find a way. Of course, you can definitely possibly see that happening at times. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I think we got good looks. Obviously, the game is not going to be perfect and mistakes are going to be made. But at the end of the day, I think if you look back, and I have to look at the film, but just off the top of my head, I believe we got good looks. We just wasn't converting. And so we just have to find a way mentally and as a team to put the ball in the basket.
I think we came out with three or four straight stops defensively. I know I had one turnover early. We might have had another one as well. So those are times where we got to capitalize and make our run, because, you know, there's going to be runs in a basketball game. Right now, it feels like we're not making our run as often. And a lot of times it comes on the offensive end, but we had a stretch there, like you said, where we got some stops and we got to capitalize. Every night, Big Ten is going to be a battle. I mean, it really doesn't matter who you're playing, game in, game out, it's going to be tough. Iowa's at the top right now, one of the teams at the top. So, you know, we'll watch this film. I'm not sure when we'll watch it. It might be tonight. And we'll move on. We'll get ready for Iowa, because there's no time to sit around and talk about this one.
So your thoughts, what is going wrong with the Spartans? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. Let your voice be heard. You can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can just go ahead and go to Facebook.com. Everybody's on Facebook, right? Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there. And you can weigh in that way or those ways, or just do all three, right? All right, folks, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this February 1st edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, we are out of time. Time flies when you're having fun, and it has certainly been a fun and eventful hour of Current Sports. Again, I want to hear your thoughts on, you know, Matthew Stafford. It's weird. You know, when they show, you know, technology nowadays, like when a player gets traded and finds a new home, like immediately social media puts that player in his or her new team's, you know, jersey, and you know, Bleacher Report immediately put up a picture of Matthew Stafford rocking a blue and gold Rams uniform. It's so weird. It was so weird to me. I'm like, man, we've seen Matthew Stafford rocking that Honolulu blue throughout his career. It's so weird, and it's going to be so weird to see him in another jersey. But I'm wishing him well, man. You know, Matthew Stafford, he gave the city of Detroit everything, and it was a thrill to watch him play every single week. He was one of those guys that you knew that no matter how bad the franchise is and how much of an embarrassment they are, Matthew Stafford was going to go out there and still give it his all and make some things happen, try to make some things happen. And we appreciate you, Matty Staff. Going to miss number 9 in Detroit, and I hope he gets a ring out there in L.A. He deserves it. He really does. He has given his all to the Lions organization and the game of football. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So give us your thoughts on Matthew Stafford. We'd love to hear from you guys and thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball. We'll be previewing that road matchup against number 7 Iowa tomorrow night on Fox Sports 1. We'll be previewing that matchup on tomorrow's show. Weekend winners, where I close out each and every Monday edition of the show with a few players, maybe a few teams, and maybe a few people that have nothing to do with sports. I give them a salute as a weekend winner. And let me see here. For me, first off, I want to give a shout out to the NFL. And it's Super Bowl week as well, folks. I'm surprised I have not mentioned that yet. It is Super Bowl week. We'll be talking about the Super Bowl all week here on Current Sports from Thursday leading up to, the big weekend. And I'm going to talk about Super Bowl prop bets. I'm going to talk about, how you can celebrate while social distancing at the same time. Is going to be a very different Super Bowl celebration for all of us. You know, hopefully, right? Because COVID is still out there. Please do it safely. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun with the Super Bowl. So keep it locked to Current Sports for that. But I want to give a shout out to the NFL because I tuned in. There are so many different things happening because of COVID, right? And because of COVID, the Pro Bowl was not held this year. There was not a physical game that took place. And look, does it really matter, right? I mean, the Pro Bowl is kind of a snooze fest. Nobody really watches it. It's kind of like a week off before the big game, right? I never really watch it. I may tune in for like a quarter or something like that. But something really cool was done yesterday for the Pro Bowl. And because they couldn't play the actual game because of COVID, they actually had a Madden. Yeah, you know where I'm going. A virtual Madden video game Pro Bowl instead. And they brought in guys like Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Keyshawn Johnson, Jamal Adams, Derrick Henry, NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, rapper Snoop Dogg, and Beast Mode Marshawn Lynch. That was the lineup that played the AFC versus the NFC. I think Team AFC, if I remember correctly, it was Deshaun Watson, Keyshawn Johnson, Derrick Henry, Snoop Dogg versus Kyler Murray, Bubba Wallace, Jamal Adams, and Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. That's how it was lined up. That was Team NFC, and then Team AFC was Snoop's team. And each player got a quarter to play, and NFC won, and the MVP was voted on by the public as being Kyler Murray, but really Bubba Wallace. When he got on the sticks going against Keyshawn Johnson in that second quarter, he just blew him out and gave Team NFC a big, big lead. And, Snoop Dogg and Derrick Henry, they couldn't come back from that. So, but it was really cool to watch that. You know, it was hosted by Fox Sports' own Clarissa Thompson and Michael Strahan. Strahan, who has tested positive for COVID. You know, everybody was at home. So he was at home recovering, and the broadcast was done, you know, in the home of all of these respective guys and gal with Clarissa Thompson. And it was really cool to watch. It was very entertaining. So I think they should make this a yearly thing. Invite me on the sticks next time, okay? If you care, I did win my second Super Bowl ring in my Madden NFL league that I've been playing in for now, like, what, 5 years? 4 or 5 years, something like that. And it hasn't been that long, probably like 3 years. And, I play every day. It's like my stress relief from work and the daily grind. But I did win, and our league is very competitive. I mean, it's a 32-player league. So, hey, Madden, hey, NFL, invite your boy. I want to hop on the sticks. I was checking out the skills of all of these guys on Madden yesterday. And, probably the best players were Bubba Wallace and Snoop Dogg. And still, I think I could take them. I could take them. So shout out to the NFL. They are certainly a weekend winner for that innovation when it comes to the Pro Bowl. A lot of people tuned in on Twitch and the NFL's YouTube page. I also have to give a shout out to the Michigan State women's cross country team, who actually got the repeat as Big Ten champs. Despite COVID-19, the Michigan State women's cross-country team opened the season capturing its second straight Big Ten title. That is amazing. 48 points. The Spartans defended that 2019 title at the Blue River course in Indiana. So that's awesome, awesome stuff. A big, big shout-out to Michigan State women's cross-country repeating as Big Ten champs, all right? And also, Michigan State football fans out there, want to let you guys know this, that you guys have landed commit, Tyrell Henry. Yes, Tyrell Henry is his name, wide receiver, Roseville wide receiver. He chose Michigan State over the weekend. And DeWitt's own Rob Zimmerman state championship winning head coach of the DeWitt Panthers, Rob Zimmerman. He has been named as state football coach of the year by the Detroit Lions. So, hey, Rob, that's awesome stuff. Congratulations to Coach Zim. That's all we got for you on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Please be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.